Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and here are some of the results from the primary last night.
This is another Super Tuesday for our campaign.
For the Democrats, Hillary Clinton won the primary in Florida. She beat Bernie Sanders for the Latino vote, 69% to 31%. Clinton also won North Carolina, Ohio, and Illinois. The pledged delegate lead continues to grow for her. At a speech in Florida, she said, "Our commander-in-chief has to govern the country, not embarrass it." With her aim squarely set on Donald Trump, she said, "If we treat each other with respect and even love instead of bluster and bigotry, there's nothing we can't accomplish together." According to exit polls, Democratic voters were more likely to describe Senator Bernie Sanders as honest, but more likely to describe Hillary Clinton's policies as realistic. As results were coming in Tuesday evening, Sanders and Clinton were neck and neck in Missouri. She won there by 0.2% of the vote. Hillary Clinton now has approximately 1,132 pledged delegates. Bernie Sanders has about 818 pledged delegates, including superdelegates. Democrats need 2,383 delegates to win the nomination.
I have to thank the people of the great state of Ohio. I love you, is all I can tell you.
On the Republican side, John Kasich, Ohio's governor, won all of the state's 66 delegates. Kasich said, "You believe you're the best when you run for president because you put it all on the line." And he asked the crowd in his victory speech to give a hat tip to Florida Senator Marco Rubio. He was defeated by Donald Trump in Florida. Rubio ended his political run Tuesday evening, bemoaning the current political climate. Trump took all of the 99 winner-take-all delegates in Florida. Trump also took the win in North Carolina and in Illinois, even after the trouble which unfolded in Chicago over the weekend.
Hey, hey!
In other election news, voters in Chicago ousted the Cook County prosecutor Anita Alvarez over mishandling of the case of Laquan McDonald. Her opponent Kim Fox ran a successful campaign on the platform of police accountability.
16 shots!
Alvarez waited 13 months before she filed charges against the officer who killed 17-year-old Laquan McDonald. Black Lives Matter's protesters who waged successful protests under the hashtag #BuyAnita have also been pushing for the ouster of Chicago's mayor, Rahm Emanuel. In Cleveland, Black Lives Matter's voters and other citizens ousted DA Tim McGinty. He mishandled the prosecution of the two officers in the death of 12-year-old Tamir Rice. McGinty has been under local and national fire for advocating against charges for the officers involved in the death of the 12-year-old, as well as his handling of other cases involving police use of force. These include those of Tanisha Anderson and Kenny Smith. Meanwhile, the Pittsburgh Tribune conducted an investigation of prosecutors throughout the nation. They published their results under a photo of Maria Hamilton. She holds a photo of her son, Dontre. He was shot 14 times by Milwaukee police officer Chris Manny in a park. The Tribune found that cops were let off the hook throughout the nation for 96% of civil rights complaints since 1995. These include high-profile incidents in Ferguson, Missouri, Chicago, and New York City, but also thousands of incidents the public knows little about. Numerous legal and civil rights experts told the Trib convicting a police officer of a civil rights violation is one of the toughest challenges a prosecutor can face. In other news, President Barack Obama announced his pick for the Supreme Court to replace Justice Antonin Scalia.
"Today I am nominating Chief Judge Merrick Brian Garland to join the Supreme Court."
At 62-year-old Merrick Garland, Chief Judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. It's a court whose influence over federal policy and national security matters has made it a proving ground for potential Supreme Court justices.
"Over my 7 years as president, in all my conversations with senators from both parties, in which I asked their views on qualified Supreme Court nominees, and this includes the previous two seats that I had to fill, the one name that has come up repeatedly from Republicans and Democrats alike is Merrick Garland."
Obama announced his choice at a ceremony in the Rose Garden. He urged Republican senators to do their job.
To suggest that someone as qualified and respected as Merrick Garland doesn't even deserve a hearing, let alone an up or down vote, to join an institution as important as our Supreme Court, when two-thirds of Americans believe otherwise, that would be unprecedented. To suggest that someone who has served his country with honor and dignity, with a distinguished track record of delivering justice for the American people, might be treated, as one Republican leader stated, as a political piñata, that can't be right. Tomorrow, Judge Garland will travel to the Hill to begin meeting with senators one-on-one. I simply ask Republicans in the Senate to give him a fair hearing, and then an up or down vote.
Ahead of Obama's announcement, the Republican Party set up a task force. Its job is to try and block the nominee. It will orchestrate attack ads, petitions, and media outreach. This is to bolster the Senate Republican strategy of denying consideration of Obama's nominee. And finally, in other news, the NYCLU has raised privacy concerns with the mayor's office over the city's new public Wi-Fi network. CityBridge, that's the company behind the Link NYC kiosks, which have begun replacing phone booths in Manhattan, is building a massive database. It carries with it a risk of security breaches and unwarranted police surveillance. The NYCLU wants the city to set the bar for privacy and security. This way, New Yorkers won't have to sacrifice their rights and their freedoms when they go online. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.